My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nathan, good evening to, or good morning to you. I want to talk to you about your flight with the Blue Angels. I want to talk to you about the Cleveland Browns. I thought that the pictures I saw of you and Miss K were fantastic, and everybody were fantastic. But, you know, we have to start off with something unfortunate. I spoke about it at the beginning of the show, spoke about it last night on TV. Jim stepping away from the broadcast booth. Obviously, it's unfortunate. Obviously, it's very, very sad. We're praying for Jim. We're hoping the very best for Jim. And I know that you have a lot of great memories with him, even in a short time together on in the booth. But obviously, you've been on the sidelines for a long period of time, so you have many good memories with Jim being a part of the Cleveland Browns since he was here since 1999.
Yeah, it's obviously very it's such a sad situation, and Jim Donovan is. I say this all the time. He is the best play-by-play man, I think, in sports. It was an honor and privilege to get to listen to him from the sidelines for 9 years and then to get to be in the booth with him the last two. But as great as he is as a play-by-play guy, he's an even better human being and an even better friend and just a better person in general. And it's been such a privilege. It was an honor to be able to call games with him, and it was more of an honor to become his friend. And I love Jim Donovan. I know that everybody listening to this loves Jim Donovan. He is absolutely a part of the Cleveland Browns forever. He will be the voice of the Cleveland Browns forever. He is synonymous with the Browns, you know, 25 years doing it. And obviously he loves this more than he loves his family, first and foremost. Second, he loves being the voice of the Cleveland Browns. And so you know that obviously if he is unable to do what he truly loves because cancer has come back and his battle – It's gut wrenching, and you just send all your love and your support to Jim and his family. And I know that I've seen the outpouring of support on social media, and I know that he and his family appreciate that such a great deal. But just keep him in your thoughts and keep him in your prayers, and just know that Jim Donovan, we all love you, and he is an incredibly, incredibly special man. And I got to be honest, I'm very happy, and I said this on TV yesterday, or felt or not happy, but I'm very fortunate that we went to the Greenbrier this year together. And at the Greenbrier, we shared a cottage. It was me, Jason Gibbs, and Jim. And so for 9 days, I basically got to live with Jim and be around him all the time and, you know, walk out in the morning and find him on the couch calling Obo Okoronkwo, getting a big sack on third down because he's just constantly doing play-by-play and hearing his Olympic stories because it was the time of the Olympics. Yeah. And that was just that was a very special time that I got to have with him that I certainly will always cherish. And I'm going to miss him so much in the booth because he has that energy and he has that passion, and he, you know, he cares about the Browns like I care about the Browns, and like all of you listening, like you care about the Browns and the outcomes of those games. And so he had such a special gift to paint a rich tapestry for those unable to see the action and then to convey the emotion of what was going on. And that's what made Jim the best. And again, I just want to say he's an even better person than he was a broadcaster. And we know how elite he was at that.
Well, one of my favorite things to say about Jim is not even really an on-air thing. I mean, it happened on air, but it wasn't, you know, run William run. It wasn't Nick sure. Chubb running to the river. It was, we had a preview show, and this is years ago. And we had a situation where, like, one of the, I could get into the technical terms of it, but basically one of the towers, like, went out, and it was a bad relay, and they had to get patched back through, and we were coming back from break, and Jason Gibbs, like, jumps on the phone. We were going to have Jim, and he calls Jim, and he goes, listen, we got to just punch you up. We cannot broadcast here. You just have to go. And Jim goes, how long? He goes, 8 minutes. And the whole 8 minutes, Jim just got on from his car, got on, started giving an 8-minute preview, repeating nothing of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cleveland Browns coming up that Sunday. And as we got back on, he's in the middle of it, and I go, what do I do? Do I cut him off? And he goes, oh, he's texting me while he does this. Go ahead and cut him off anytime. He'll finish up for you. And so I finished up. It was seamless. We went to break. I went back the next day. I listened to it. I swear to God, I go, boy, you got a long way to go here. You got a long way to go. The talent that Jim has and possesses isn't just for play-by-play. It's being able to come off the cuff. It's being able to speak about these things, finding the right words at the right time. He's fantastic. And, you know, we love him. Nathan, we love him. And you learn something from him every day. You're in the booth with him. You learn something new from him every day you're around him. So we're definitely going to miss him in the booth. And we will definitely miss him for Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys, where, you know, the big talk across the country has been Tom Brady being in the TV booth for that one. And also these two quarterbacks going after each other, Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson. Now, I've always quoted you, and it's been tough to do this, but I've always had to quote you, go, you know, Nathan tells us Deshaun historically has not been great to start off seasons. And we had a lot of people on Monday who were upset that Deshaun didn't play on Saturday. And you and I know the reasons for it. And we've explained that to everybody. But, you know, a lot of people are nervous about what we're going to see from number four. It's been almost a calendar year since we saw him on the field last. What are we going to see?
Thomas, we've only seen him play in week one as a member of the Cleveland Browns once. And it was on a rainy day, literally only over the stadium in Cleveland, and the Browns trounced the Cincinnati Bengals, and it was his rushing touchdown in the first half that really kind of opened that game up for them. So he's ready to play. This team is ready to play. I think so many people read into that preseason game that it was about Deshaun, and, oh, is his shoulder okay? His shoulder's fine. It was not about Deshaun. It was more of kind of a philosophical shift that the Browns had as they got closer to that game and said, you know what? It's in Seattle. It's been raining all day, 2 days here. We're not going to play any of our starters. And they didn't. There were a few that played, but you think about the big names on this football team, they did not suit up in that game. No Deshaun, no Njoku, no Betonio, no Judy, no Cooper, no Miles, no Denzel, no MJ Emerson, no Hicks, no JOK. I mean, no Dalvin. They didn't play the guys that will be playing in that first game. So I think that was a little bit was overblown in the fact that that was like about Deshaun. It was more like, no, we have to be healthy. And the great news for the Browns is they've gotten significantly healthier. They finally have all 11 on defense back, and they'll have 2 weeks with that unit to get ready. Now 1 week left for the Dallas Cowboys. But I expect this team to be ready. They know that every game matters in the NFL. You can't just be like, oh, we're going to just ease into the season. And the philosophies around the league are very different. 8 of the 32 starting quarterbacks did not see a single snap, and I think it's something like 16 of them didn't even see more than one drive. So that's kind of the way of the National Football League now. But it's going to be on Deshaun and certainly on the Browns and their players and their ability to execute to answer those questions. Now, the ironic thing to me is when people talk about, let's say a team clinches the playoffs, right, and then they take week 17 off, the final game off, and then they come back and they're like, oh, they're rusty. Well, that two-week period is exactly the same that would have been between the preseason game and this. I don't know how much carryover people think that would have had. Do I think at times it's valuable to get hit and to feel that live football action before you actually do it? Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. But I think it's sometimes hard to risk the people that are going to be so critical to your ability to have success in a season in a game that, frankly, doesn't count. And I think the NFL's got a little bit of a preseason problem on its hands.
How do you expect the offensive line to look next Sunday against Dallas?
In terms of what?
In terms of who do you think the starting five are going to be?
Yeah,
what do you
personnel.
Think it's going to look like?
Personnel.
Yeah, I think that we know four of them. It's going to be Betonio, Posick, Teller, and DeJuan Jones. I think the last one is open. I do think Jed Wills has a good opportunity to be back at practice this week. And if that's the case, I think if Jed Wills can put in a full week, I think he can be good to go. And or Jack Conklin. And if neither one of them are able, I think it would be James Hudson at left tackle. So that's kind of where it stands now. But I think the Browns are optimistic that they'll be able to go out there. And you heard Andrew Berry say it before the preseason finale, that we should be fully intact on the line. And I read that to mean Jed Wills will be at left tackle, as he was always supposed to be. And if not, Jack Conklin will play there. But that's, you still have four-fifths of your line completely intact. They've been together basically all offseason. The question's going to be at left tackle. But I think Jed Wills has a good shot to play.
Nathan Zgura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So Brandon Ayuk, that saga is finally done.
Your buddy got absolutely creamed.
We're trying to get him on, Nathan.
He wouldn't come on the show this morning.
We're trying to get him.
He wouldn't come on the show this morning.
Oh, my God. Unfortunately for him, he's a national laughing stock. And quite, from what I've seen on social media, even in Pittsburgh, they've turned on him. They're like, come on.
I mean, to be fair.
You went down the primrose path, brother, and you gave us nothing.
The primrose path?
Have you ever seen Russell Wilson at the one-yard line?
Have I ever seen Russell Wilson at the one-yard line?
Pony said it was at the one-yard line. Russell Wilson doesn't have a lot of success in that spot on the field.
This one was picked off by Malcolm Butler as well.
Sure was.
Holy Toledo. Yeah. Well, Nathan, like, what did you make of the whole Ayuk situation? Because it was like, let me ask you this. Let me lead you down this path if I can. Like, we hear that the Broncos were involved in a possible trade, and then they got held up because they wanted a, quote-unquote, according to Diana Rossini, the 49ers wanted a top-flight wide receiver in return. So they picked Cortland Sutton, of course. And they were willing to give up a third-round pick for Cortland Sutton. And then that led them to go, all right, was Amari ever part of the deal then? I don't know if Amari was ever part of the deal if they're going after Cortland Sutton, because the Browns, they would have that there. But then we also hear that Ayuk was going to put the jinx on anything coming here to Cleveland.
Yeah, I think that there are a lot of things in play. I think that, you know, as Adam Schefter reported, that there was a belief back in early August that Brandon Ayuk was headed to the Cleveland Browns. Now, I'm not privy to what was in that. I do know that the goal was to have Ayuk, Amari, and Jerry Jeudy on the field together. So you can take that for what that's worth. Brandon Ayuk's a guy, West Coast guy, played his college ball, obviously Arizona State, been with the Niners. He had some concerns about coming to this part of the country. That was not something you really wanted to do. He apparently has, I heard from multiple people, a connection to Ryan Clark, which is why he was okay with the Steelers. That Clark told him it was just such a great place to be and had a personal relationship with him that was leading him to think that was more palatable than the Cleveland Browns. But that's pretty much, honestly, that's pretty much the end of it. I mean, the Browns offered more money, according to reports, to Ayuk. And you can tell yesterday that the Niners got to Adam Schefter first, because there's no reason for his tweet saying that Brandon Ayuk signed his deal for him to twice hammer home in one tweet that this is the exact same deal that was on the table in August, and his holdout got him absolutely nothing. So that was clearly the Niners telling Adam Schefter, hey, stick it to this guy, brother, and he was happy to oblige.
You tell these fans to stick it, brother.
I was like, oh, my God, the Niners, I guess. I could see John Lynch and Kyle like texting Schefter and be like, "No, this is what you're going to say. This is how it's going to go down. We're gonna let the world know that this hold in for him was a total failure."
Go ahead, Danny.
And then he said it and goes, "We got him." And Nathan, one of the big discussions was who the Browns should keep as the third quarterback between DTR and Tyler Huntley. Obviously, they went with DTR.
I don't think it was a discussion.
What about DTR made that an easy discussion for the Browns then?
I mean, have you watched him?
Yeah, I want to know your thoughts. That's why you're on.
I mean, DTR has progressed tremendously in his second season, throwing the ball with confidence, with accuracy. He's got command in the pocket. He has natural leadership qualities. He is beloved and respected by his teammates. Even other people have gone out of their way, you know, doing the production meetings for the show just to talk to us about DTR. Deshaun was effusive in his praise of DTR. Kevin Stefanski has been effusive in his praise of DTR. He's grown up. He understands the game. He was a guy that played a ton of ball in college and I think was thrown into such an unfair situation in that game against the Baltimore Ravens. And just because of the way things went down that day. And to bounce back from that and in your very next NFL game to play in that same stadium against the Pittsburgh Steelers to lead a game-winning drive shows you the fortitude, the mental toughness that he has and the belief in his skill set, because he threw us down the field to set up that D-hop field goal and to win in the game that was so emotional and powerful with the return of Jim Donovan. Then you go to Denver, his last three drives as a quarterback in the National Football League, were all scoring drives. He led three straight scoring drives, two field goals and a touchdown against the Denver Broncos on the road. So you could see it was starting to come around for him, and then just the way that he worked himself back from what could have been a career-ending injury to his hip, he battled through that, dedicated himself. He's been awesome. Folks, have to remember, he's a fifth-round draft pick going into his second season. He's already won you a game in the NFL. You're going to have the ability, as rosters continue to evolve here, to have a guy on that contract be your backup quarterback and allow you to only keep two quarterbacks on the 53, which allows you to have another position player. So Jameis is the backup this year, but I can tell you this organization is very high on DTR, and I know there were reports that the Browns were, you know, looking to move DTR. False. Teams wanted DTR, and I'll tell you, a lot of teams wanted DTR, but the Browns had no interest in moving DTR. So they kept Huntley on the roster to try to trade him. Once the Chargers made that final move, there really was no market. Unfortunately, they had to let him go. They liked him a great deal, but he was brought in because, quite frankly, they weren't sure if DTR was going to be okay this year. But he is such an impressive kid, and if you ever get a chance to be around him, to talk to him, you'll feel that. He's got a real presence, and then he showed, forget the touchdown. Go back to the Seattle game and watch the throw that went off the fingertips of Darden, where he's rolling left, flips his hips, flicks it about 40 yards over a defender that was in perfect position to get it right on the fingertips. That was one of the most impressive throws of the preseason. I'd put it up there with the one Caleb Williams made. And this is DTR, so very encouraged about him, very excited about him, and I know the Browns are thrilled that he is a Cleveland Brown for now and the future.
All right, how was the Blue Angels?
It was insane. It was absolutely insane. Pulled 7.3 Gs. I didn't black out, which I'm very proud of. I was close. I can tell you I was close. So what happens when you get under those Gs? And we did multiple 5G maneuvers, 1.6, and then the 7.3 on what they call the sneak to vertical roll, which is you come in really low, and we shot from basically like 1,000 to 15,000 feet in, I think, like 10 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. The thrust, the power. So 7.3 Gs feels like an elephant is sitting on your chest, and you have to clench every muscle in your body from kind of like your abs through your butt, your legs, all of that down, because the blood with gravity, the blood's all leaving your head and going to your feet because it's seven times the force of gravity.
Wow.
It is the most physically grueling thing I've ever done. And when I almost went out, what happens was the blood leaves your head. This is so weird to me. The world becomes black and white. So, like, I'm looking up, the sky's blue, and all of a sudden it becomes black and white, and then, like, blackness starts coming in from the sides into, like, a tunnel. And then I got to a point where it was, like, probably half of my vision was gone, and then I just kind of reposition and, like, squeeze harder and scream and whatever and do the breathing, and then I was able to get out of it. But those planes are so powerful. They are so precise. The rolls, we were just snapping rolls off. It was awesome. And I was so fortunate to fly with Lieutenant Connor O'Donnell in the 7 plane. And you guys were right, there are 6 planes. So there are 4 that fly in the formation, 2 that are the solos. Next year, Connor will be the number 6 solo, and then in 2 years, he'll be the number 5 lead solo. I'd recommend people who, number one, go to the air show. They are going to put on a show for you about 45 minutes that is going to blow your mind.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
At one point, they will fly 4 planes in a formation where they are 12 inches apart from each other.
Wow.
Like, that's not a joke. 12 inches apart, 4 jets moving as one, which is the precision it takes is incredible. And then there's a documentary on Amazon Prime about the Blue Angels that I'd highly recommend people watch. It's fascinating to see what they go through, the rigors of the training to get to the point where they're able to operate jets in those kind of proximities. I have so much respect for them. It was the ultimate thrill of a lifetime. I don't think any roller coaster is ever going to really get me going ever again because it was absolutely insane. And we got a video on the Browns YouTube, just a little snippet of the big 7G one and then also a 5G takeoff right over Cleveland Browns Stadium. You just can see how fast we go from 100 feet to the stadium looking very, very small very quickly.
Nathan, that's outstanding. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Have a wonderful holiday.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coming in hot, 940, as well as the Sharps in Vermilion. Why didn't he want to come here? Next on the... It's a difficult thing to talk about because we all love Jim. And again, that was one of the major takeaways I've always ever had, where it was a really eye-opening experience to hear him speak extemporaneously for, 8 straight minutes and not repeat anything about the preview right off the top of his head, driving down the highway. And I just went, well, you got a lot you got to learn here. And I'm glad I've been able to soak up everything I could. And still had a lot to learn watching Jim do play-by-play. So we're definitely going to miss him in that booth. They're going to miss him in that booth, and we're definitely going to miss hearing him on Sundays. And again, prayers to him, his family. Again, his daughter, Megan's wonderful. She is also an Akron alum, wonderful woman. His wife, Cheryl, is wonderful. The whole family's great. And we're going to miss Jim in the booth. He is the best in the league to do it. And that's not just it's not something you say. Like I said Jim's the best, and I got one person. I got a couple of psychos yesterday on social media. I don't know why it bothers me to this level. It's like, hey man, like I do believe in Cleveland history. I do believe in paying attention to this sort of thing. I know that there was Gibbs Shanley and Jimmy Dudley and Ken Coleman and Casey Coleman and. You know, a lot of people, like Joe Tate in basketball, Herb Score, Tom Hamilton. Yeah, you kind of always go with what you have. I mean, some people made it a generational thing. I don't know why yesterday was the day people decided to have that argument. But yeah, you kind of make it a generational thing. And if there's a 75-year-old man listening right now, he probably thinks that Nev Chandler was the greatest to ever do it. Well, I'm a 38-year-old man, and I listened to Casey Coleman, and I loved Casey Coleman, and I love Jim Donovan. And I know Jim Donovan personally, and I'm proud to have learned some things from Jim Donovan. And I hope I kept my ears as open as I possibly could. And I hope I soaked as much of it in as I could, because I think he's the best to ever do it in football.
Yes, sir.
And we've been blessed with a dynasty of voices in this city calling games for teams that at times were wonderful, at times teams were terrible, and they've all been willing to tell the truth on all those teams.
Yesterday was an absolute gut punch, and I don't think there's another way to say it. I was crushed when I saw that news, and truthfully, for as much of a gut punch as it was, I don't know that it even feels real yet for me, for a lot of people, and I think it's going to feel very real when you turn on the Browns Radio Network September 8th, and they're taking on the Cowboys, and someone other than Jim Donovan's on the call. And, you know, when this happened last year, as Jim was seeking some treatment for his cancer, and you knew that it was rough, but you also hoped that it was temporary. This isn't temporary. You had that hope, well, Jim's going to be back soon. And Jim was back. And Jim did a great job once he was back at the end of last season. But now, Jim's not coming back. And that's the thing that I think when we hear somebody else on the call September 8th, it's going to feel very... I think it's going to feel even worse than it does today.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. But I think that's how a lot of people feel. It's been a difficult thing to process here. Inside of 24 hours. 216-474-0092. We got coming in hot coming up at 940, and we'll have the Sharps in Vermilion week two. They have left Shea Francois from the text that I got. That the lines are out for high school football. Only you and I can do this. Danny is not allowed to participate.
I gotta recuse myself.
He is an assistant coach at a local high school, and I know from Rick Neuheisel, you better not. You just better stay away from
it. My mic will be off.
There you go. Deshaun Watson, you said you didn't know if he was the reason or not the reason that Brandon Ayuk didn't come to Cleveland.
It's worth thinking about.
I don't think he was the reason that Brandon Ayuk didn't come to Cleveland.
Maybe he's not, and that's great if he's not. But also, the Browns should be in a position with Deshaun Watson where receivers want to come play with him. right? He should be the reason that Brandon Ayuk is a member of the Cleveland Browns because of Deshaun Watson. I can't say for certain that he is or isn't the reason Brandon Ayuk is still on the 49ers and not with the Browns. But what I know is that it's been reported the Browns offered him more money than San Francisco just signed him for, more money than the Pittsburgh Steelers offered. The Niners and the Browns agreed on compensation in terms of a trade, and Brandon Ayuk is still not a member of the Cleveland Browns. So that just leads me to question, okay, if all of those things are true, which I have no reason to doubt what Adam Schefter is reporting here, if all of those reasons are true, why did Brandon Ayuk not want to be in Cleveland? More money? We like to think this is a good football situation. What was it about this that made him not want to be a member of the Browns? I just can't help but wonder if it's the quarterback play.
What was it about where he wanted to become a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers where their quarterback play, I would say, is worse than ours?
I agree. I agree that it is worse than ours, and that's why I can't wrap my head around maybe it is Watson. Maybe he's low on Watson because I think in a lot of areas.
But wait. He wanted to go to Pittsburgh, but their quarterbacks are worse.
Right, and that's why
I can't. Why would it be anti-Watson then? If you had the choice, I'm not playing with Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. Right. I'd rather play with Deshaun Watson.
That's what I would think too. But I can't get inside of Brandon Ayuk's head. I'm trying to figure out what this might be. Maybe it is just because he wanted to play for Mike Tomlin. Maybe that's all this was. But okay, that's great. But why didn't you want to play for the Browns? I almost think that this is something that has nothing
maybe
to do with any other
thing.
Team.
Maybe it was a Cleveland thing like Nathan said. I'm not sure.
Which would be a shame.
But also, I got to make sure that we had the right type of person that would play for this football team because I had to highlight both things that happened before. Right now with Deshaun Watson, excuse me, at $230 million, that was the reason that he came here. I know that there's nice convenient stories about offenses and what, but it doesn't make sense when you were the first team out at 10:30 on a Thursday morning.
Right.
Also, when I go back to Odell Beckham Jr., he had a very nice season here, but it didn't end the way we wanted it to end with Odell Beckham Jr., and he did not want to be here at the very get-go. And we remember the situation that happened, I think, Halloween weekend, or close to trick-or-treat weekend, I remember, when they played over in New England, and you had the whole conversation about families sitting together and telling them to come get him and all that other stuff. I think that when you get guys that don't necessarily want to be here, and even though we can have an infectious personality on people, and Myles Garrett has certainly made his home here and his established roots here, and I know Nick Chubb is beloved here, and he's not from Cleveland, Ohio, or from the Ohio area at all, and there's been plenty of others, even though we kind of do that, you know, those guys are draft picks. When you trade for guys, and it becomes that mercenary type feel. We believe in our own here. It's a very close-knit big city. So we take draft picks as if they were born here. When it comes to trades, we do not treat them that way. We treat them, with the exception of a very few, and I bet I could name it on one hand, traded players to this area that have become beloved. How many can you name off the top of your head?
Is Amari Cooper beloved?
Amari Cooper's well-liked. I don't think Amari Cooper's beloved.
Then I don't even know. And I mean, part of it is the NFL historically has not been a very big players get traded places.
But I think historically in general.
But you're right. And I think a big part of this, I think a very big part of this is not whether or not you actually want to be here when you get here. It's how you embrace the city once you are here. It's how the city embraces you once you are here. Because you can say that about Deshaun Watson. And I think because of the off-the-field stuff, the baggage that Watson brought along with him when the Browns traded for him, there's been a very, very large part of this fan base that has been very slow to embrace Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson has not necessarily embraced the city, and I understand why. And I think that's part of the reason why we feel that way.
Wait, you think he hasn't embraced the city or the city hasn't embraced him?
I think it's kind of both ways. I don't think that he necessarily...
I think he's tried.
I think it's a really difficult thing for someone in his situation.
But it's been 3 years, and I think that he's coming to the understanding here of the reality that there's just going to be some people who, unless you play to an outstanding level, they are not going to start to like you, and they don't. There's a good population of people that just aren't. That we had the callers earlier. They're just not down with him. And the thing I'm most worried about the most when it comes to his play is him turning on the fan base and just assuming that the fan base is never going to like him and wallowing in that if the play isn't good. If the play is good, they'll treat this as a business transaction and they'll like him. But love him the way they would if he were drafted?
No.
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 No,
no they won't.
216-474-0092. We got people here. We'll get to you guys coming in hot. 216-474-0092. Please keep your comments within the boundaries of good taste. Coming in hot, coming up next, and week two. the Sharps in Vermilion, next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.